As you know, we've partnered with Bitbox, makers of the Bitbox O2 hardware wallet. It's a secure, open source, Bitcoin-only hardware wallet with the best user experience in the industry. I personally use it to guarantee that I'll always have access to some of my Bitcoin in cold storage whenever I travel. If you want to check out a Bitbox O2, you can use the promo code HIGHHASHRATE to get 5% off your purchase or go to bitbox.swiss/HIGHHASHRATE. All one word, no spaces. Check them out. Ah, screw it. Here we go.
When we celebrate the halving, it's like we know exactly what's going to happen. The block reward is going to go from 6.25 to 3.125. It's going to happen at exactly this block. We don't have the time, but we know which block it's going to happen at, right? And we see what's going to happen there. And then today, to bring it back to the FOMC, it's like, this is the biggest day in the fiatters world. And they're all sitting there biting their nails saying, what's going to happen? We don't know how this is going to work.
Hey, everybody. This is the High Hash Rate Podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dan.
And this podcast is just two plebs getting high and talking about Bitcoin, life, and the absurdity of the fiat world. Our guests don't necessarily get high with us, and you don't have to either.
But it helps.
Hell yeah.
Yo, sorry, I'm smoking a joint on air. I usually have an edible, but welcome back to High Hash Rate. We've been away for a few weeks. Mike's been moving. Things have been crazy. But tonight we have Sly Goomba back on the show. One of our favorite guests. One of the best episodes in terms of downloads we've ever done was Goomba's second appearance here on High Hash Rate.
But for real, what the fuck? That's not good.
No, it's great, man. It's great. Fellow podcaster, although his podcast has also been away for a while, so maybe we'll get into that. But it's been about a year, a little more than a year, year and a half since we had you on, Jeff. How are you doing? A lot has happened in the last year and a half. The world, the clown world has gotten, I mean, it's accelerated to a crazy point. Who knows what's going on anymore, especially in the Bitcoin industry. So that's the context. They just tried to assassinate the U.S. president candidate a few days ago. So that's where we're at, right? How have you been, man?
I've been good, man. At least he's still eating cheeseburgers for Bitcoin, sort of. So he's doing all right.
That's right. He was at PubKey in New York City today.
That's the hot story of
was
the day.
Was he really?
Yeah, yeah. He was the first presidential candidate to do a Bitcoin transaction. He got everybody burgers at...
No fucking way. Trump did this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all over.
Trump went to... Did I really? Wow, I can't believe I missed this.
You obviously haven't
been
on Twitter today.
I've not been on Twitter. It's the story of the day, man. Come on.
Story of the month, year, maybe.
Wow. How many memes can come out of a story like that, you know? Trump's buying a fucking burger.
Pretty big deal if that's the big story of the day. The Fed cut the rates by 50 bips. I was telling everybody at work, oh, they cut by 50 bips. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's funny, man. You listen to that shit. Nobody in the real world that has any clue what's going on.
Oh, I know, dude. Like the biggest story of this month, this week, whatever, is everybody has been anticipating that today, and it was the day, today was the day, that the Fed was going to finally cut rates after raising them the most in terms of, percentage or whatever in history over 2 years. Now we're hitting a rate cut cycle. And so all the big rage, I mean, shit, it was practically, they bet on it, right? Or it's not, you know, they gamble on it. The market prices in the odds of like certain rate cuts. But yeah, so everybody guessed. Some people said 25 bips. Some people said 50 bips. Today it was 50 bips. And what does that mean? 99% of the people, I bet you they could not tell you what that means. So, but everyone, the whole world's been like waiting on this to happen.
Yeah. No, nobody in the real world knows what it means.
Right,
I think
that's
the funniest shit.
I've been more in touch with the P. Diddy scandal.
Yeah. That's this, what they're all fucking paying attention to.
This is what's feeding me. Fucking pedophilic thing, you know.
Did you know P. Diddy also killed Tupac? This should be well-known information by now.
I've heard that one.
I mean, well, yeah, now it makes even more sense if all this stuff is coming out about him.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you guys are up to date on the literature of what's going on with Diddy, right? Like, I mean, at least somewhat. He is like the Epstein of hip-hop.
Yeah, it's him and Jay-Z, man. They rule the world. They're fucking evil. They control all the badness.
Right. Like what Epstein, you know, allegedly, you know, was shopping. He was like running the biggest sex trafficking ring in the world for the CIA and implicating politicians and underage girls islands. But with Diddy, it was getting him really fucked up, giving him drugs, and then doing like they were like it was like a gay sex cult. And there's video at Diddy's crazy parties, like rappers and celebrities doing weird sex shit that he uses later. He records
it. For blackmail. Yeah.
For blackmail, yeah. Because blackmail runs the entertainment industry just like it runs politics. It's just a little different, you know? It's like a little different flavor.
Yeah, basically, like, he's like stealing the souls of these fucking rappers, you know, putting them in these like terrible situations.
Everybody blamed the Jews for that, and it's really Diddy.
Extorting them. Diddy might be Jewish. We're not sure.
There we go.
We gotta check the tapes here. No, man. The thing about it is when you look back in, like, looking back at all its history, classic thing. Look at fucking ancient Roman shit. But seriously, the people that were ultra wealthy that ruled the world all had this obsession with power. And so a lot of them were gay, not because they wanted to fuck dudes, but because they wanted power over dudes. So it's not surprising that that's something that's still going on in the world today. All these people that are like,
that's what they say.
That's
what they say about prison, right? Like, it's not about being gay. It's about dominating the your cellmate or whatever. Like, being like, don't drop the soap. It's annoying, bro. Stop it.
Exactly. It's about power. And Diddy's way up there, man. Somehow he is up in the ranks of whatever fucking chaotic organization rules the world, at least under a fiat standard, right? So it's good that it's all coming out.
It's such an incredible power. You know, it's so, like, the power of a Diddy or the power of an Epstein is so far removed from, like, the lowest rung person in the world, you know? In the amounts of, like, things that they can do. I mean, it's so crazy.
Yeah, you know what's great about this, though? You know what the best part is? Is that
Bitcoin fixes this.
Motherfuckers, like, this is where you get into the real deep... The real deep shit of like, hey, what the fuck are we doing here? Well, there's corrupt, disgusting, sick motherfuckers out there in the world that control everyone. And the way they do it is by controlling the money, and they control the money by they control the people that create the money. And with Bitcoin, you can put up two middle fingers to them all and tell them to fuck off.
Right.
So they have their last, you know, their last throwing blows of let me fuck as many dudes as I can. Until Bitcoin takes over and we fix the world. Good shit, man.
Right. And the reason that I think this conversation is so important is because sometimes me and Jeff, he'll send me screenshots of, you know, girl he's been talking to on Tinder or like the dating apps. And he tells me about the girls he's been meeting and dating from these apps, but he's always talking about having conversations like this, you know, on like a first or second date or like in the app itself. And I'm just wondering, like, when you're on a date with a girl that you just met, like, how do you explain to her? And this isn't just for you, right? This is for everybody in a situation like this. How do you explain to her that Bitcoin fixes the elite's, you know, child sex trafficking, that blackmail that controls the government? Like, how do you explain this to her?
When you say it like that, it sounds fucking crazy, man. Come on. Back off a bit.
It's crazy when you say it like that, but, you know, it's how do we make it sound less crazy? Because this is important information. Like, we have to tell people how this fucking fixes it, because we have to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, just knowing the problem is step number one, right?
Right.
If people don't know what the problem is, they're not going to care about fixing it. And so you got to let people know what the problems are. And corrupt pedophiles ruling the world, or fucking Jews under New York, or whatever the fuck else is going on, is the, you know, the
pagers, dude. That's crazy.
Blowing up pagers and whatever else.
Pagers. Wow, another fucking crazy thing that happened this week. It's just nonstop. Just crazier, crazier shit.
It sounds scary. And then you realize that all of our cell phones, all of them, are manufactured in a hostile foreign country. They're all made in China. So now you're worried, like, is China gonna blow up my phone like they just did to those fuckers in Hezbollah, right? Those dudes were like, it was blown up in their pockets, blowing their fingers off. Some of them died. And it's like, what if they do that to me? Because I like share a meme that like the Chinese president he got ratioed on Twitter because of me. Like, I'm fucking going to blow up for that? What's going on?
I don't know, man. The Chinese government probably likes Bitcoiners because most Bitcoiners are trying to take down all governments.
True. And try to destroy the dollar hegemony.
Trying to destroy the dollar. So China's probably looking at American Bitcoiners saying, yeah, keep going, boys. Maybe they're pumping all the pro-Bitcoin propaganda and it's actually the Chinese Communist Party behind it all, because that'll take down America first. And China will probably be left standing. I've been wondering, man, like, how big is Saudi Arabia and all those guys' armies? Because when shit starts to go down, you know, they're trying to kill Trump. They want to start World War III. Is America's army going to hold up against Russia and these other guys? Like, you guys might fucking lose for once.
I don't think army size really fucking matters anymore.
What matters?
I think it's like, how good is your technology? How good are your memes? You know?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, that also sounds crazy. But at the same time, China is putting a lot of effort into, allegedly, the propaganda on TikTok. And everybody knows, I think we all know, that TikTok's not great. It's not good. I don't think we all agree on why it's not good or, like, what's not good about it. Maybe some people think it's China. Maybe some people just think it's our own culture that's reflected back at us and it's rotten and we're disgusted by it and we don't like that. But for a lot of people, they think that TikTok is bad. And if you could control something like TikTok, if you could control the entire youth and, like, the fighting age people of your enemies, that is in itself war, but it's, you know, it's not kinetic. It's not, you're not killing as many people, but it does have powerful results.
Well said. Well said. It might even have more powerful results than a fucking drone strike or a massive nuclear bomb.
It's like, right. It's like and this is kind of silly, but also kind of true, I guess, if you think about it when you're stoned, is it's almost like the amount of energy they have to put into the memes, into the videos, into the culture, into whatever, this message, to get it to actually be effective is like, it's like 51% attacking the culture. That's what China's doing to us. And we're just like, dude, we got more bombs. We got more nukes. Well, I don't even think a lot of people believe nukes are real, so it's not that scary.
It's not. You don't need to be afraid of nukes. You do need to, yeah, don't be afraid of nukes. There's nothing to be concerned about there. Dude, like, they're trying to turn everybody communist. Do you think Chinese people in communist China are happy with the communism there? Like, some of them must be, because you're so fucking brainwashed that you think it's good. Like, the communists in Canada, or, you know, whatever, left-leaning people that think printing money is great and taking care of people is good. Like, how, you have to be so fucking brainwashed. And so, that's the question, is will the, you know, social media, TikTok and all this shit, will they overtake enough people that actually think communism is a good idea? Because you see it, like, uprising. And the problem is here is that Bitcoin still wins because it doesn't fucking matter. Everybody can be a communist and we can have 4 Bitcoiners and we'll live happy lives, right? Whereas before Bitcoin, it was like, okay, they're trying to make everybody communist. And if you're not a communist, you can't eat and you can't fucking sleep and you can't buy food and we're going to kill you. But now they can't do any of that shit to us. So I go back and forth on this black pill, white pill, all this stuff, man, trying to figure out, like, what matters? Because Bitcoin just solves so many problems. It solves the communist problem simply by giving you an option to not partake in it. Like, you just choose not to. So it doesn't matter how much China fucking infiltrates the youth, as it were, whatever. Like, I don't give a fuck. I'll have a city surrounded by communists and then just, you know a few Bitcoiners will fuck off and have happy lives. So who cares? Good stuff.
That's where I want to push back just a little bit, because if everybody else in the world is a communist and there's only 4 of us node runners that still fucking transact Bitcoin, Lightning wallets, bullshit, will we still be happy? That's a really small Bitcoin meetup, and And that's like only three other dudes that are going to sell anything for Bitcoin or fucking understand Bitcoin memes.
I've been in Bitcoin for 4 years. I only know fucking four Bitcoin dudes, man. So far, it's going just fine. That's all you need, man.
That is. I guess that is. I guess you just need a couple other dudes.
Yeah, man.
That's what life's about, is about hanging out.
That's right. Also, if the whole world goes communist, the communist leaders, the ones that are at the top, are going to want to transact with the Bitcoiners. And then you can just become your own dictator or king over a little army of communist
Hell
helpers.
Yeah.
So
be like a feudalism. That'd be badass.
Yeah. I mean, Bitcoiners are the elite, and you just have to get used to that.
I kind of want to go back to a point
Mike,
that Dan
you,
made.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Mike, to you, isn't that crazy that you're going to be like one of the elite dudes that runs the world someday?
Because
sometimes I feel like you can barely do a podcast opening, and you're going to have to run your own like fiefdom.
Well, that's if I can fucking hold on to the goddamn Bitcoin.
That can be hard.
That's the hardest thing to goddamn do in
Jeff,
the world.
Jeff, have you had to sell your precious Bitcoin? Unplanned sales?
So, here, I'll be honest, man. I'm an all-in, all-the-time guy. I fucking hold as little fiat as possible.
Okay.
I get paid. I put aside what I need for bills and whatever else I'm immediately buying. And then I buy Bitcoin. And yeah, there's been occasions in the past where I needed to buy something, needed to fix my vehicle. And unfortunately, I've been working on my mechanic for a while saying, hey, take Bitcoin. But he doesn't. He only takes fiat. So I had to buy some fiat in order to pay for my vehicle. Like shit like that happens. That's fine. He has his choice of money. I have mine. That's how I see it. What do you take? How do you want it? Oh, and this fucking shitty paper? Sure, give me a second. I need to go through some hassle to convert my good fucking pure digital fucking wonderful everything great money into your bullshit Canadian fucking garbage. Give me a second. And then I'll do that. And then I'll just carry on with my life. Because you know what? The amount that I would have spent on fixing that car, if I hadn't been saving my money in a good money, would have been way more fucking expensive. Because my money went up in value against that shitty money over the last year. So luckily, my car fixing was really cheap. But if I didn't have a great money, I would have been fucked. Because it was a lot of Canadian dollars to fix that fucking thing, man. What was the question?
I asked if you had to sell. And so some people might think that what you do if you're like all in or off zero or on zero, excuse me, is risky. But if you got to get your car fixed or you got to get a new something to fix your heater in your house and right now is in the middle of like a bear market or a dip, you're like, how bad do I need that? If I don't need this right now, how important is it? So it just kind of makes you more cognizant of the value of anything that you might have to buy when the price is low.
Yeah, or anything you have to buy ever, regardless of the price, because the price is always low. So every decision, fucking financial decision I make, I think twice about it, man. That's something that started when I got into Bitcoin and has not stopped. Like every single thing I buy, I price it in sats in my head. I'm like, ugh, do I need this? And I still only buy shit that I need. I haven't bought anything I've wanted for almost 4 years, man. I'm coming up on my anniversary here soon. So yeah, dude. But,
so
it's been worth it, I think.
Hell yeah. So after you've convinced a girl on the first date that Bitcoin fixes the child trafficking rings that run the blackmail world, on the second date, how do you convince her to live this very austere, like simple
pleasureless
savings life, you know? Because that's two big dates right there. You haven't even asked her which hardware wallet she uses yet.
Yeah, man, this is the problem, right? So that's where I get to. It's like, this is the life I live. This is how I want to live my life. And you tell people that, and you tell them straight in the face, and these are my goals. And they go, oh yeah, wouldn't that be so nice? It's like, no. This is what I'm doing. I think there's a vast difference in maybe that's another Bitcoiner thing, is when Bitcoiners say they're going to do something, they go and fucking do it. Like, there's real goal-oriented action plans happening. And in the fiat world, you meet all these people and you say, hey, what do you want to do when you fucking grow up? Or what are your plans? And they just have no hope in their eyes anymore. There's so many people that just are like struggling to get by day to day. And this is anybody I've met. And, you know, you see the fucking videos on Twitter of people crying in their car. Like, those videos are fucking numbers going, you know, NGU Tech is kicking in on those videos. Because there's so many people that are just at their fucking wit's end. They're fucked. They're broke as fuck. They can't make money. Everything's expensive. And they have no hope for the future. So when you tell somebody what your hopes for the future are, they almost think of it as like an impossibility. Because there is no future in a fiatter's life. There's no future there. And it's fucking depressing when you talk to people and you say, what do you want to do? Like, what's your five? Where are you going to be in 5 years or 10 years? Which I never used to do either. And I didn't do it because I didn't have any hope. Now I have hope. Now I have dreams. Now I have goals and fucking aspirations. I'm going to make them happen. And so you have to find people that are like-minded. The problem is that they're very, very few and far between, man. So when you find somebody like that, hold on to them. People that actually give a fuck about their life, because most people don't anymore.
Yeah.
Can I just hop in here and this? I just want to say the description of these people that you're, you know, hopeless people. It seems like this is going to happen in the, you know, high economic areas, like in the cities, right? More and more hopeless people can't afford life, right?
Yeah.
And that just seems, it just drew this visual, great visual for me, is that it'll just keep on spreading out from the metropolitan areas, I think. Like a ripple in like a drop in a water.
And on top of that, people who, they don't think they can afford the future. And if you don't think you can afford something, you don't plan for it.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a lot of people
And you behave as such.
Right.
And that's a terrible behavior.
If you know like how rich you're going to be off of Bitcoin in like 10 years, you're like, what, all the crazy cool things I can do with that, or that I can pursue that I already want to do because I know that it's worth it. Whatever I pursue is worth my time. And so I have the confidence that I can do it because I know that at the end of 5 years, the end of 10 years, that I will still be able to afford my life to live, to have another 5 years, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, just having a little bit of, what's the word, comfort, a little bit of knowing what the future, like, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, but we know that in, you know, a couple hundred thousand blocks here, we're going to have another halving. We know a few things that are going to happen for sure. So at least you can plan your life according to that. Or like, you know what? I was thinking about this today. So when we celebrate the halving, it's like we know exactly what's going to happen. The block reward is going to go from 6.25 to 3.125. It's going to happen at exactly this block. We don't have the time, but we know which block it's going to happen at, right? And we see what's going to happen there. And then today, to bring it back to the FOMC, it's like, this is the biggest day in the fiatters world. And they're all sitting there biting their nails saying, what's going to happen? We don't know how this is going to work. And it's just like one dude up there gets to say, oh yeah, I'm going to drop 50 bips. Like, what the fuck? Like, no, but nobody saw it coming. Everybody just sits there and guesses. So how do you live your life around just making guesses of what's going to happen when you can at least have a certainty in certain things? Right? Especially when you're talking about what you're going to do. Like you said, you know, it's fun to think about being so rich that you can do whatever you want to do, but it's not even about that. It's more like you can do whatever you want to do because you can do whatever you want to do, you know? So, and a lot of people don't think they can. And so what Bitcoin provides, if you can save a little bit, really just what saving money in general provides, is your ability to do what you want to do. Not because it's going to make you rich or it's going to, you know, whatever. It's just because it's something that is going to fulfill you because it's a desire you have, right? And people are scared to chase their desires if their basic needs are, man. I think that's a Maslow's hierarchy thing there. Right,
right.
Wow, man, can I just Can I just bring up some stupid micism where I come in and make a ruckus?
Yeah, it's my favorite part.
That you made me think of. All right, so these cities are going to collapse from within because people can't afford to live there. They're, as we were talking about, they will keep on moving out further out into the suburbs, further out, until it's a wasteland of poverty. You know, this is like a terrible scenario. But the things that will start to attract in more rural areas will be the citadels. And the Bitcoiners build these citadels, and they will basically become the new castles, is what you made me think of.
Yeah. It's exactly, so, yeah.
It seems, and it seems like another kind of dark ages, or 2.0 maybe, something to that effect.
That's already happened. We're going to see it happen again. I mean, that's what you're describing for boomers is subdivisions, you know, like gated subdivisions. Like people, they moved out of the cities and they built subdivisions in the suburbs surrounded by trees and sometimes walls. And they all had their big fucking boomer houses that they got off of low interest rates. That was like their hyper Bitcoinization was like low interest rates, like the super low interest rates going down from the 80s. And they were just inflating assets and just building fucking subdivision citadels.
Basically escape velocity is what you're saying. Yes.
Right.
That's like that. Right. Yeah.
And like, how do we avoid those mistakes? And how do we not build such shitty citadels?
Yeah. That's just time preference, man. But it comes down to, I mean, Bitcoiners are going to have to take in the poor, which is just something that's happened all the time. And then it's a question of, are the poor poor because they're stupid, or are the poor poor because some other reason, right? Because I was a poor for a long time, still kind of a poor, but it's because I was stupid. And then you realize like, oh, if I just go to work and save money, I won't be poor anymore. But there, you can scream that in people's faces, right? Hey, if you save money, you won't be poor. And most people will just say like, huh, I want to go buy more shit, right? So there's, I think even in a hyper Bitcoinized world where we all have citadels, there's still going to be people that just want to buy shit. And then the Bitcoiner can like own the citadel, own the stores in the citadel, own all the food in the citadel, which is basically just a recycling of what P. Diddy is doing there at his house, right? He owns everything and he's got a bunch of slaves that works with him. And yeah, sex slaves there. So really, it's just a human cyclical thing that never ends. It depends on the person's moral beliefs on whether or not they're going to fuck dudes in their citadels. I guess I'll leave that up to the citadel owner to decide.
Well, that would be like the peak. The P. Diddy thing is like the peak of the inverse. So it's like the main part of the city where all the economic power comes in. That's like the P. Diddy control. And the Bitcoiners control is on the other side, the rural, it turns into a city itself, sort of draws energy to it.
And like the really like shitty subdivisions, like citadels with like the cheaper houses that all look the same.
Yes.
And like the people are like way trashier and like they spend way too much money on cars. Like that will be the citadels where the ETF holders live. Like they'll just be like these motherfuckers don't really know what money is. Like they just are like kind of lucky and they don't have taste. Like
Do you think the ETFs last a full cycle? Do you think we talk in 4 years and at least one of those motherfucking things is blown up because obviously they're not actually buying the fucking sats?
No, because I think that, well, let me, I guess, preface that. Like, I think that there will be, no doubt, there will be some turbulence. But what I think the real threat is not, I think it would be cool if the ETFs just like fell apart in a couple of years and went away forever. But I think that unfortunately they're not. And it's going to be like, we have to worry about that happening. And then the market getting manipulated, you know, and the Fed just printing money to buy Bitcoin and like, you know, somehow perverting the system. Obviously Bitcoin would unwind that in the long term, but I just feel like the ETFs are going to be so manipulated.
Well, the Fed doesn't have to print money to buy real Bitcoin if the Fed can print money to buy paper Bitcoin. Like, think of the just absolute shit show that is. But yeah, so I'm trying to figure out how it explodes, because it's not like people can take their Bitcoin out of the ETF. So what? Well, I mean, you're going to see the market rate for real Bitcoin, and then you're going to see the market rate for the ETFs, and there's no way they're going to be able to keep track because they're not going to have enough money. So that, yeah, that's how they explode, right? And you say it could take a while. I don't know, man. Like, think about BlockFi and fucking Compass and fucking all these other things that were so obviously such bullshit that remember when BlockFi came out? I would say, like, no, this isn't going to work. I thought maybe it'd stick around for a decade or something. It took like months, you know, it's so quick. That's just the bullshit gets caught on to you so fast in Bitcoin world. So I'm hoping that that same trend continues in the ETF. It'd be better if all these people get fucked sooner rather than later. And yeah, I think it's only a matter of time.
I think really like what's going to happen most likely is a scenario where either Bitcoin's going to have some sort of crazy vol to move up or down, especially on like a weekend or a holiday. And there's going to be events like that. It's not going to be just one time. It'll happen multiple times. And if you own the ETF, the real risk, you know, one of the risks other than just rugging you or just, you know, the government rugging you is that these funds will have, you know, a certain amount of time legally where they have to rectify the amount of Bitcoin that they say they own based on the price. But that might not happen quickly. And it might take a few days. It might take a week, depending on how crazy the market condition is. But if you have to sell those shares of your ETF, you're going to have to take a haircut. And so just like by not owning your actual Bitcoin, your, you know, ability to sell it and be able to sell it for something that you value at the equal value of the market, what it says that Bitcoin's worth, you're not going to be able to do that necessarily with the ETF. And people are going to stop owning it because of that, and they'll wind down.
Yeah, it'll just be a classic collapse.
It won't be worth it.
Everybody
will see it was a scam.
Yeah. We'll see that this was a stupid idea. Yeah.
And I think you made a really great point there about if it's a weekend too, that's the whole thing. It's like, because Bitcoin is trading 24/7. So some major move, as you said, can happen on a weekend.
Yeah. And if BlackRock doesn't
have... These people have to wait for it. Yeah.
If there's a situation where one of these ETFs does not have enough money that to buy the amount of Bitcoin it legally has to own based on the price that happened from Saturday to Monday morning, like... And you need to sell. Well, there's no Bitcoin to sell. You know, you own what a bunch of paper Bitcoin, but you can't sell it. It's no good to you.
Exactly. So how does that not happen within the next like 2 years? I think it does.
I think so too. Now that we think of it that way, I think that definitely happens.
That'd be good.
Is it possible? Yeah.
That'll probably bring us back from when we get up to 350 and we'll just crash all the way back down to glorious 58. It's going to be a fun bottom of the next bear. I'm looking forward to that.
So yeah, my next question was, what do you think is going to happen? When do you think it feels like there's going to be a crazy bull market. Feels like we're all too bullish. Feels like we're all jaded at this point. We're just like,
we're all too bearish. You mean?
Pretending that we still are having fun at 58K.
I'm having fun at 58K, man. It's peace. It's peace and joy. I'm zero stress at 58K. I think it's wonderful. What do I think is going to happen? I don't know, man. I'm kind of in disbelief too, because this is my first cycle. I could see it being the one, like, just my luck, you know, didn't happen this time or something.
I was too late. God damn it.
Yeah. Oh, I was too late. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that could happen, but that's fine. I'm good chilling wherever, man. I like Bitcoin because it's fucking my money and nobody can take it from me. It just so happens that they're going to start printing other monies, and that's going to reflect in the fact that our money is going to be, looks like it's worth more. It's really going to be a question of, and it's kind of always been a question of, is Bitcoin going up in value or is the dollar going down in value? Because I think it's gone up in value a lot over the last decade. I think over this next decade, we're going to see the dollar go down in value a lot. So we're going to look like we're getting rich. People are going to be pissed off. Look at these Bitcoiners. Bitcoin's worth a fucking $1 million. oh, I wish I had that. And you know, you go to the grocery store and milk is going to be like 50, 60 bucks. You know, a carton of eggs is going to be $300 or whatever. Like, that's going to happen, right? So the price is just, who fucking knows and who fucking cares? It's just the fact that you're going to be able to afford the shit because you're not getting devalued. That's the most important thing to remember.
Well, until we're all transacting in Bitcoin, the relationship between those two things, like, is Bitcoin going up or is fiat going down in value or dollar going down in value? Those are basically the two sides of the same coin.
No, man, it's not. It's not, because if Bitcoin was going up in value, like whenever we have a day where Bitcoin pumps a bit, I look at the price of gas. That's one of my favorite things to do. And then I'll see if it's a real pump or a fake pump. Because you can be like, okay, gas went up 20 cents today. Bitcoin's up 10%. Okay, so when it measured in gas, it's like, okay, I still get the same tank of gas for the same price. So it's when you look at it that way, it's like, okay, whatever. That's just the dollar going down. But if gas stays the same and Bitcoin goes up, it's like, oh, yeah, cool. I get more gas for still, less sats.
I guess it's still priced in dollars, though. It always goes back to the dollar.
Yeah, you can price anything in anything, right? So you can compare it to the dollar.
Or other currencies.
Yeah. Or other currencies. But if you can price anything in sats, too. So if a tank of gas...
Yeah. If a tank of gas was like 1,000 sats or whatever, and every single day the tank of gas was about 1,000 sats if you priced it in sats. But if you priced it in dollars, if it was like $27 one day and $1,000 the next day and $200 the next day, then you're going to be like, well, it doesn't make sense to price this in dollars anymore. This is all over the place. Why don't we just price it in sats? Because it's very it's very stable in sats, because it's a much more in sync market with natural, you know, economic forces.
So yeah, we might see the dollar look a lot more volatile this decade. I think people will start to catch on to what's actually happening, hopefully.
And the dollar's volatility will be reflected probably in Bitcoin.
Yeah, or in anything, right? Again,
if it starts to reflect, if it starts to reflect volatility in assets other than Bitcoin, but there's no volatility in the Bitcoin, that's when you start to say, well, this Bitcoin's more stable. This is a better unit to measure things in, because it's more reliable. Right. 50K.
Exactly. Yeah, but like if a house costs 10 bitcoins, and next year a house costs 10 bitcoins, and next year a house costs 10 bitcoins, meanwhile the price of a house was, you know, 300K, 400K, 500K, 600K, all you're seeing is the dollar's going down in value. Not enough people, I don't know, I just don't think enough people consider this, and it's the most important thing, because so many people save in dollars, especially poor people. It's like, we're not even getting rich in Bitcoin, we're just getting not fucked. This is pretty much the gold people's argument too. It's just like, I'm not getting rich, I'm just not being stolen from.
Yeah, this is why the 58K meme is so important. This is why. Ooh. Because $58,000 Bitcoin says nothing about the value of anything but Bitcoin to dollars. So you could have like in a situation, everybody's really, really worried about hyperinflation, but there's a reason some people are worried about deflation. If you think about it, like in the Depression era, was if there was a great deflation in houses cost $30,000 and, you know, college tuition cost $1,000, then having 58K Bitcoin in 20 years, if the other prices were that in 20 years, that would be a blessing. And people need to understand that sometimes 58K is a blessing. So you should never take it for granted, because you never know. You're not smart enough to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my take.
58K has always been stacker's paradise, man. You just stack as many sats as you can. That's why I'm happy, man. If we're there, I feel like I'm smooth sailing. If we're under that, that's when it's like, oh shit, that kind of sucks. Everything's expensive. If we're over that, you're like, holy fuck, something's wrong here. Let's fix this. And then somebody does, so it's all good. Fuck, I had a thought.
It's like a price gravity. I just wanted to point that out. I think it's a baseline, 58K. Like,
oh, Mike, if we were still at 58K in 10 years, how happy would you be?
I don't know. It just depends on how much I could purchase and what I...
Let's assume it's not good. Let's assume that it does. The bull market's not here and inflation goes crazy, but not Bitcoin. How happy would you be?
I'd probably be not as happy as I wanted to be, I would say. Probably goes without saying.
That'd be funny.
Sly, did you have a point you wanted to make?
Yeah, man. The other thing is people that talk about the nominal price of Bitcoin or the all-time high or whatever, like, oh, well, it's not really at the all-time high unless if you account for inflation. It's like, yeah, that's the whole fucking point, man. Inflation's a retarded metric. You can't measure anything off of quote-unquote inflation or CPI, one, because it's always changing, two, because everybody has their own personal take on what inflation is, on what they buy and what they don't buy. So, if you measure for inflation, it's like, that's the whole point, is that the fucking dollar is a shitty unit of count, a shitty measuring stick. So whether you count for CPI or your own personal inflation, whatever the fuck, it's like, no. All we care about is the number goes up, right? NGU, look at this. This was the highest number. Now this is the highest number. What can it buy you? I don't fucking know. Go take a look. See what you need to buy. But you're not at the all-time high if you account for inflation. Like, fuck off with that shit. We know, dumbass.
By using the dollar as a unit of account or unit of measure, that's what's making everybody a doomer. That's what's making everybody so pessimistic. When everything is getting more expensive all the time, it makes you fucking pissed and think everything's bearish. But if you just use Bitcoin, everything gets cheaper over time. And so you're just like way more hopeful and fucking memes are better.
Yeah.
You can tell by the memes which money they're following. Their memes are good. Yeah.
If they're happy, then things are good. And
that's why you have to just basically follow the politics or the opinions of the group that has the better memes, because that means that they're right.
It's true. It's way more fun when you get them too, man. Like, think about all the shitty shit coiners with their shitty memes and whatever they do. Like, none of them are laughing at that. I'm howling every time I'm on Twitter, man. There's so much funny shit going on. It's a great time. I'm never upset. I only follow things that make me laugh, though. So I've fixed my feed quite well. I always see people say, oh, I'm watching people die on here. It's like, yeah, you can just mute it. Oh, I'm seeing terrible things. Yeah, just mute it.
Then why are you watching, motherfucker? Yeah. It's like, just keep scrolling.
Just mute it. So that's
why you're the one that stopped. You're the one that's like driving by an accident. You're the one that stopped and looked, man. If you saw something gross, it's because you wanted to.
Exactly.
Yeah, but there's more and more gross shit happening. It's
no,
everywhere.
You just mute it. Mute it. Mute it.
How can you mute it when it is?
Okay, so
it's coming,
settings. So what you do, you open an app and then there's settings.
Not
then,
like that. I don't literally mean, but it just comes in everywhere from all angles.
No, man.
These algorithms on social media, you can mute them. That's an extreme way to do it. But, dude, you're getting those videos because somehow it knows that's what you want to see. You got to change your thinking. You got to, like, fix your own mental model, and then the algorithm will stop sending you the fucking... It's just kind of like voodoo.
It is.
I believe
oh,
it.
I'm talking about outside of a phone. Even if you muted, didn't put your phone... Because I'm not always on my phone. But
where else are you seeing evil shit?
Yeah.
Just what else are you looking at? You're looking at other stuff.
He does live in California.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, most of, you're right. I guess you're right. Most of the information coming into my purview is probably evil shit because I'm on social media. That's true. But I still see crazier shit outside these days. Outside of my house. You can drive a few minutes away and you'll see some fucked up shit.
Yeah, you're in California, Mike said. How hard do you want to dock yourself? Like, in one of the major...
Southern California. I'm in Southern California.
Oh, yeah, so you're in... Yeah, what the fuck do you think? What do you expect, man? California's communist. You're fucked. Why would you live there?
You're in the epicenter of the communism, dude. Like, where the ripple starts that you're talking about earlier.
That's true. Actually, though, like, not even joking. Right. It's a terrible choice that you made moving there. Why are you living there? You should be ashamed of yourself.
He was trying to working the Diddy.
Yeah, you're trying to get it to Hollywood. You're trying to get into Diddy's fucking chambers, eh?
Diddy's inner circle.
Yeah, dude. Why am I seeing all this evil shit, dude? You live by Diddy.
How much Ethereum do you still own, Mike? For fuck's sakes, man.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been on there in a long time.
Yeah, dude. If you're in the cities suck. So you're gonna see suck. That's what's gonna happen.
I don't even remember the original point I was trying to make.
You're saying that you're seeing bad shit everywhere, like when you go outside. I think that's real. That I moved halfway across my country.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, not just on social media, but it's happening in real life. But you're right. It's happening closer to the cities.
You need to surround yourself with people that are living good lives. That's what I've been working on, making friends that, you know, have land out in the country and have good times and eat good food, real food, and, you know, do things that are great and not go downtown where homeless people are fucking stabbing themselves with, like, you have to pick and choose where the fuck you are, whether it's on social media or in the real world. Like, you make, to be a little esoteric, you make your own reality, bro, but it's, like, true. Like, do what you want to do. Be where you want to be. If you see something you don't like, don't associate with it. Like, fiat.
Yeah, the city is just full of crazy communists and cops. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that is happening, though. It's just...
It's not crazy. It's a fucking standard set of events that happens every time the money breaks, man.
The price of everything, the affordability of the future in Los Angeles is very, very volatile and very unstable. And when you have that situation, it's like you're either in despair or you've got fucking cops everywhere or it's just everything's volatile. It's like when something's hot, the molecules are moving around much faster. It's just everything's more crazy. There's more entropy,
more chances to break.
You know what I mean? There's just more. Yeah, exactly.
More pagers going on.
Less order. There's just less order. More entropy means less order. There's more entropy at the center.
That's a question I wanted to ask you. I'm so glad I reminded myself. So earlier in the episode, Dan, you were talking, we were all talking about the pages going off that just happened. And it made me think like about this whole, you know, how we went on this tangent about, you know, China having all of our cell phones and maybe I'm like, oh God. But what it really made me think about is like, what happens in a world where we can't trust the devices that we use to communicate?
My brother in Christ, you cannot trust the devices that
to the degree in which it's going to fucking explode.
Well, yeah, there was exploding Samsungs a couple of years ago. Remember that? True. That was a thing. You shouldn't trust any technology. You should make friends and start small communities like the Amish do. We all look at the Amish like they're crazy, but I keep coming back to it, man. They had it figured out. Technology's going to take over and fuck everything up. Let's not do that. You were right. Or make your own phones and shit.
You need to just live in a community where everybody laughs at the same memes. And then you know that they're... Because if somebody doesn't laugh at your memes, it's hard to understand that person.
But how can you even communicate your memes? How would you be able to communicate your memes if you don't even trust the technology that you use to communicate them? So,
word of mouth memes, man.
it isolates everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we are in a very that is true. That is a really crazy form of cyber. I don't know, warfare that we might be facing is that. We're so atomized now and everybody's so isolated compared to what we were before COVID, especially compared to what we were before, like social media and cell phones. We're way more isolated and we're way more connected to things that just don't matter as much as our immediate surroundings, communities, families, things like that. So to kind of get in this warped situation where we're isolated, but we're reliant on this technology to feel connections to other people, and then they take away that connection, and like that's boom, that is like the ultimate, that's what's scary, right? It's like, what if this device that I rely on for everything. What if it could kill me? Motherfuckers, my point is these devices are killing us different ways. It's not going to blow our dicks off necessarily, but we're going crazy and we're getting unhealthy because we're too reliant on these things.
Yeah, man. I mean, fuck, dude. We're all roughly the same age. None of us had cell phones when we were kids.
Right.
Life was good, you know? I don't know.
It's true.
Diddy was still Puff Daddy, and he wasn't a fucking crazy sex cult leader back then.
Still was a sex cult leader. There was just no videos. He's probably got fucking cassette tapes of fucking sex acts he did with other fucking rap stars.
That's crazy.
That's kind of crazy. Yeah. Where are the tapes, Diddy? Where are the tapes?
Did Trump really buy it? He walked into
Didn't really buy it. Two dudes stood beside him and one said, "This is what you do." And the other guy said, "Oh, great, we're doing it." And Trump was in the middle.
That's probably how all of his transactions work. He probably goes in and somebody else does it for everything. It's not just when he uses Bitcoin.
I wonder if that's how that's the future of the Lightning Network, man. It's just going to be the two people at the desk. Somebody walks in. Hey, can I buy this with Lightning? Okay, yeah, sure. Here, we'll do it all for you because nobody knows how to do it except for like 12 people.
Well, dude, that's a good point. Like, even though it is so easy to just have a Lightning wallet on your phone and to open it up, scan a QR code and pay for something, so many people are too retarded to figure that out. But that means even if you aren't a rich elite someday, you'll still be able to make really good money having a job just operating a Lightning wallet for somebody who's like too rich and doesn't have time. Like, I don't have time to deal with Strike. It's too complicated. And so your job is to walk around and pay for stuff for them.
But no, this is the problem with Lightning, man. The thing is that you can use it. Any fucking idiot can use custodial Lightning wallet to custodial Lightning wallet for sure. That's no big problem, but that's not solving.
Not any idiot. Obviously, there are a lot of people who cannot do that or cannot figure it out.
Yeah, that's just a sad state of the fucking world we're in. But most people can figure out a Lightning wallet. But if you're not using Lightning then, like, it's way more enjoyable to show somebody how to send and receive a Bitcoin transaction, because it's actually happening on the Bitcoin network, than it is to send somebody Lightning on fucking Wallet of Satoshi or whatever the fuck. You know, it's just, oh, here's some sats. Somebody else are holding them and the entire purpose is being defeated, but yay.
But that's what I mean. That's what a lot of people are already doing, is like, instead of actually hiring somebody to do it for you, now we just have Cash App and Strike. They're just like, hello, please use the Lightning Network for me. I'm too stupid and retarded to do it myself. So please, Cash App, send 20,000 sats to Strike. And they just do it for you.
True, man.
It's some dude in India who's just fucking routing it from node to node back there.
They don't even need to route it, man. They can just make their own ledger. You don't even need the Lightning Network anymore.
No, that's what I mean. From Cash App to Strike, those are different companies. You got to send it to different companies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in the Citadels, then, there's going to be one Bitcoiner and then a bunch of fucking Wallet of Satoshi users. That's what it'll be.
That's basically like Fediment.
Oh,
right?
Interesting.
That could be like Fediment. If I don't know exactly how it works, but if you could set up a Fediment where there's like one master user, I think everybody's equal.
Yeah, basically, it's like a little you have like a little federation. You can have like admins. So it's like you can have a Fediment with your family or like your Amish, like if the Amish people were allowed to use Bitcoin, but they're not, I guess, which is kind of fucked up, dude, because I think Amish people would like Bitcoin, but they're
not
allowed to
use it. They're allowed to have like a filing for emergency, and Bitcoin is an emergency, so maybe they'll
be able. Okay, fair enough. Maybe that's a loophole, but it's like,
it points out to me, I just wanted to think about this. The Citadels will have Fediments.
Yeah, you could. You could just do it for your church and like everybody. Then you get privacy because it's like a non-profit organization. It's a church, so like the IRS can't make them like show what your Lightning wallet account is. But anyways, yeah, like, and you could have like one person at your lodge who's like good with Bitcoin. Everybody else is just like spending it based on what they put in. And you do have to trust, like, it's easier, but it's easier to trust like a dude you can show up to his house with a shotgun if he rugs you than like some dude in China who like holds your keys and rugs you. Like, there's nothing you can do about that.
I just want to say I'm pushing myself like, 300 years into the future. I'm just looking at like this relationship between citadels and the fediments. If it's like a thing that you sign on to once you get to the citadel, you know, and then you sign off.
You just be born into the citadel, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there'll be travelers though, you know?
Yeah.
People want to join different fediments.
Like a traveler's check. You bring like, hello, this is, connect to this lightning node and collect 20,000 sats.
That's right.
That'd be sweet. Send real sats here, get fediments.
Or as an open dime, yeah.
Get an open dime at the
door. That seems like an exciting future, I would say.
I want to ask.
Yeah. We're not going to be around. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I have another question that I've been thinking about when it comes to multi-sig and single sig and the importance of it or not. So this is where I've come to now, because people are like, oh, multi-sig is the way to go. It's way better. What if you're getting tortured? I was like, okay, well, wait a second here. So if I have multi-sig and it's super secure and I have one thing set up in one country and another in another country, and then somebody comes to steal my Bitcoin, they can't get my Bitcoin, but they can torture me, right? So with single sig, if it's a $5 wrench attack and they're smacking you in the head for your sats, you can at least at some point, if you must, bow down and choose your life over your sats. And be like, okay, fine, I'll give you my fucking 13-bit sats here, you know, here you go. And then they'll fuck off and they'll take it, hopefully. Maybe they kill you, maybe you don't. But if you have multi-sig and they start smacking you in the head, you literally can't give them your sats, you know? So they're gonna just continue to torture you. So what's really the better option? Wouldn't it be better to have access to your Bitcoin in case of emergency rather than not? Like, I've honestly been questioning the multi-sig thing because it seems like it's a lot more fucking complicated for not a lot of extra security and also a lot more opportunity for failure. So what do you think?
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts on this, actually, because I've been thinking about this myself. So I think that the benefits of multi-sig, if you're looking at it from a standpoint of, is it really that much more of a benefit to me if somebody is torturing me in an electric chair or whatever? It's like, probably not, no. And also, like, Bitcoin is hard enough to spend sovereignly peer-to-peer as it is. Having to like fly to another country just to get the password, just so I could spend my Bitcoin in an emergency or in a pinch, or just, you know, even if I planned for it, it's still a pain in the ass to fly to another country to be able to spend your Bitcoin. But I think if you would rather just kind of have maybe you're from your family or some kind of like trust where you want to make sure that somebody has access to another key, or if you lose one of the keys or if one of them are compromised in that scenario, that, you know, there's a third that can unlock it or whatever. But I don't think that if your main concern is, what to do when you're getting tortured, I just think you should use a Bitbox.
Bitbox. No. Always with the shills, hey? Just can't get away from
that. Was a good Bitbox bit. I love that one.
What's so good about Bitbox?
Can I just say, I think you have to balance both strategies. I think both strategies have, you know, they obviously have different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah,
to answer your question, what I like about Bitbox, well, first of all, is I don't have all of my Bitcoin on a Bitbox. I mean, I have some of it on there. I don't have all of my Bitcoin on a single wallet or a single multi-sig. It's kind of spread out. But, you know, there is a lot, there's a certain amount of my Bitcoin that I want it to be very difficult to spend. I do want it to be in a multi-sig. I do want there to be a lot of like redundancy there. I just want it to be very safe and conservative. I'm not so concerned about spending it. But then I've also got Bitcoin in a Bitbox because it's really small. It looks like a little like USB drive.
Yeah,
it's very inconspicuous. Yeah, it's very inconspicuous. You just kind of plug it in. There's no buttons on it. It's got a cool, very easy to use. Very easy. You can plug it. You can spend it on your phone. So it's like you can make a transaction on the app, but you have to sign it from your hardware wallet, your BitBox, and you plug it into your phone and it's only plugged in. So you can make a bigger transaction and still have your Bitcoin with you when you're traveling, when you're on the go in cold storage. And that's really useful. So it's like, do I want to have access to my Bitcoin in a situation? That's a situation for a BitBox for me. Do I want my Bitcoin like protected for years and years in the future? That's a more complex, like multi-sig for me. Do I want Bitcoin that I can just spend on podcasts or buying something on the internet? Well, that's just, it's on a custodial Lightning wallet, because if I lose $5, it's not the end of the world. If I have to like use a bunch of time and, you know, pay a bunch of fees just to spend a couple bucks, it's like losing $5 anyway. So whatever, it's just kind of, it's a risk assessment for the situation. That's kind of how I operate.
I mean, you have multiple strategies. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
right,
you're using your
transaction. Not all transactions are the same. Some transactions need to be more private than others. Some transactions, it's like, yeah, if privacy was free and easier, I would do it privately, but I don't really care if people know I bought an Apple with my, you know, custodial Lightning wallet. I don't care about that situation, but every transaction is different. Some transactions is like, gotta definitely be on a VPN, or it's like using SaaS from this wallet that, or, you know, have less of a public history than SaaS from this wallet. It's a lot to manage, but if you're as obsessed with Bitcoin as people like us who have a podcast and who are on Twitter all the day, you know, it's fun for me. I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think having multiple options available is good.
Right.
And I've just been thinking about like, it's not even easiest. What's like the most ideal situation for how to store your sats? Because there's a lot of options now, and it's only going to get more and more. I actually downloaded Fetty. I don't know if you guys downloaded it. I looked into it.
Yeah.
It's it's also more complicated than it needed to be. I got to figure that shit out, but I have no use for it yet anyways. Right. So I have it. I didn't send any sats to it. I had added a couple of friends, 'cause there's a chat messaging app on there, which is cool. But, I mean, there's so many ways to store your Bitcoin. I think everybody has all these ideas of how you should do it and what's the best way, but really it's just, I don't know, whatever works for you. I think a lot of it, I'm just saying this 'cause there's going to be a lot of like new Bitcoiners coming in soon, right? They're going to be looking to podcast to learn what the fuck's going on. And so all the same questions, all the same fucking talking points are going to start coming up again. Have you guys considered that yet? Like, it's both your first cycles, right? So we're going to hear all these podcasts come out with all the same shit, or we don't. I don't know. I think we will though. You already see it where people say rehashed ideas over and over again. I remember when we started, like, oh, how do you defeat Bitcoin? Well, what if a fucking asteroid hits the earth? You know, and somebody says that, they think they're the first fucking person to say it. And 40 years pass by, somebody says it again, they think they're the first person. It's like, there's no new ideas anymore. It's just the same shit recycled over and over again.
Right. All of the same conversations that people had in Clubhouse in 2021 are going to be rehashed in spaces with dumber people yeah, just as crazy, people with different charts, like Willy Woo's and Plan B's. Those guys are retired. The next Will Clemente will come into power. You know, Pompliano used to orange pill everybody. Now he doesn't even do Bitcoin podcasts anymore. Like, it, Peter McCormick's gone. He's not going to be like the podcast everybody listens to, right?
Good point.
So it's like, it's going to be a whole new crop of podcasts and influencers and YouTube videos, and they'll be just like, they'll be dumber in some ways, dumber
for sure.
In some
dumber
ways, yeah. They'll get a lot of things right that we got wrong a few years ago.
Yeah,
and we'll just kind of take that for granted. They'll just get a bunch of new shit wrong and be really stupid and annoying and still grifters. But everybody does get a little bit better. The conversation gets a little more refined, and it's just, you have to account for all the normies that come in and having to make sure you can catch them up, because the normies, they're going to come in hot. They're going to know about Bitcoin for like a week, and they're going to be just as confident and stupid as we were.
Yeah.
And, like, know nothing about what they're talking about.
It's true. It'll be fun. I'm excited for that shit, man. For, like, a new group of people. I wonder if the 2016, 2017 crowd had conversations like this before all of us assholes showed up, eh? Because, like, the 2020 crowd, 2021 crowd, we're the best fucking crew. For sure, we're the best. Like, not even a question. I mean, we have the best people.
Oh, shit. There needs to be, like, a Bitcoin yearbook, dude.
Yeah,
who's making the Bitcoin yearbook?
That would be cool. Bitcoin, yeah. Bitcoin, what would it be?
You know, it'd
be an epic book, like epoch book, right? And what epoch did you come in at?
It's going to be funny because the biggest rival or the biggest whatever for us for most of the time was Ethereum and, you know, like the lending platforms. We already talked about BlockFi, Celsius, FTX. And those things are still somewhat, you know, the ghosts of those things are still creeping through. But, like, the next crop of people, there's scams. It's not going to be Ethereum. Ethereum's already dwindling down. SBF's in prison. Celsius is wound down. There's no BlockFi anymore. Everybody knows if you hear BlockFi, it's like, fuck that, stay away. Everybody's turning on Sailor today for talking about yield again. But what is, like, what do you think is going to be there? It's like, is it going to be AI coin? Is it going to be Solana? Is it going to be meme coins? Like, what is going to be the that thing that they think that whether, even if they know Bitcoin is the best and they mostly save in Bitcoin, they're going to fuck around with this other thing. Maybe it's the next Bitcoin. How can I be sure? Maybe I can just use it to get more Bitcoin. Like, what's going to be that trap for the next cycle?
Yeah, I just can't believe there's still people that are retarded enough to think that blockchain is useful for anything other than the accounting
Trump
of stats.
Trump is launching a fucking DeFi lending platform.
Yeah, like,
so
how fast is that thing going to fucking last for? That's another thing.
And
it's
everybody
just like
knows
the ETF,
that. They're still going to do it.
They're going to do it. I don't
know. This dude is shameless. That's why I love Trump, man. Honestly.
Well, he doesn't. He genuinely doesn't know better. He's just.
It's like.
There's
it's
certain
a clown
people that,
move.
There's certain people that just don't give a fuck. Like, anybody that has fiat wealth that. You know, Trump doesn't save his fucking money in dollars. He has real estate in fucking New York and whatever the fuck else he owns. He doesn't give a fuck about dollars. So he doesn't need to care about Bitcoin because he's not getting deflated or inflated away, right? So he has no incentive to learn about Bitcoin. The people that have incentive to learn about Bitcoin are the people that are being stolen from. And so the fucking idiots will keep making stupid shit. Other idiots will keep buying it, and then there'll be like another few people that are just wake up and say, oh, this Bitcoin thing, this is what matters, this fixes everything, so I'll just save in this. But it's so few people, right? It's just, it'll be nice because I think, like, when I came in, it was so easy to just shoo off shit coins pretty fucking quick. You're just like, oh, people have made this mistake before, okay, this is all bullshit. Okay, and then verify. Yeah, I'll just be Bitcoin. And that's only becoming easier and easier and easier and easier to see. Like, I made a thread a little while back of a bunch of Bitcoin documentaries that are available for free. And now there's been like a half dozen more that I have to add to it. Because people are getting so good at condensing like a 4 years worth of Bitcoin learning and shit that we did into an hour. And so it's becoming this really easy thing to understand because it's being said more and more on a simple basis. And so if anybody actually genuinely wants to learn, it's pretty fucking easy to do so. And so if people don't want to learn, then, you know, they only have themselves to blame when they get fucked.
Well, shit.
Yeah, just one more question, just because.
Yeah, you got it.
Were we recording?
Shit.
Yeah. Like I said at the top, it's been a crazy timeline of events, especially the past summer, right? Like the assassination attempts. Trump, all of a sudden, he's at the Bitcoin conference and he's going to free Ross, according to him, you know, right? Like, and it seems like this. At the beginning of the 2020 cycle, right, it was like so exciting just to like see the ticker on the TV, And now it's like, Jesus Christ, like, I don't always want to see Bitcoin on the timeline of the TV, because sometimes it's like, damn, that's what everybody sees when they think of Bitcoin now, is like Trump doing it at a bar. But, you know, it's just like, we can't control the narrative. It's not that we ever could control the narrative, but it's so crazy now. It's so easy to spin. What do you think is going on, like, on in American politics? What's your opinion? And, like, what do you think? Do you think America is going to make it through this election and then the subsequent months up until the inauguration? Because it just feels like shit's popping off. It's crazy enough up in Canada, but it's nothing like the United States.
I think the funniest thing is when you, like, I try and keep myself very balanced when I'm looking at anything, and you realize how quickly, like, people are such in their own echo chambers. Take that, the debate or whatever that happened a little while ago. All the Trump people are like, oh yeah, you destroyed her. Kamala was a fucking idiot and she was wearing a fucking earpiece and whatever. And then everybody that was for Kamala is like, oh, she really put him in his place. She's the best. She's so smart. So it's like, if you have a candidate that you like, you pretty much, you're never going to switch over. Now, it's like, there was probably a point in time somewhere in history, I don't know, wherein somebody could debate somebody, have a good point, and change somebody's mind. We're past that now. Everybody's chosen. And once you choose who your person is, your fucking algo and all the things just bombard you with information to show you how awesome that person is. This goes for both people, right? So it's like, if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to see how awesome Trump is. You're going to see him buying fucking burgers for fucking Bitcoin. You're going to see all the great things he does. And if you're a Kamala person, you're going to say, like, I don't know, man. I don't know how they do it, but they make her look like she fucking knows what she's talking about. All the people that are on the Trump algo think she's this fucking drunk, bumbling moron. And the people that think Kamala's smart think she's like this well-spoken, great person. So anyways, my point is that, like, there's no shifting. There's nobody shifting anymore. There's nobody that's going to be like, I was for Kamala, but now I'm for Trump. Or I was for Trump. Like, that's not going to happen. Doesn't matter. So the choice is already made. Everybody's made their choice. It's just a matter of who, like, how the votes are counted, who gets put in power, whoever they want to be put in power. And then it's just a matter of how fast this fucking fiat experiment blows up. It blows up a little bit slower under Trump, I think. And it blows up faster under Kamala. And we'll just, we'll see what happens. I could give a fuck less. Like, it's going to shit either way. Buy Bitcoin, save yourself. It's all you can fucking do. Move out of California if you're there. And, yeah, man, like, just watch the shit show unfold and laugh in your fucking, on your floor, because you sold your chair for sats.
Yeah, it's, if you're going to vote in this election in the United States, I think the question you have to ask yourself is, do you think that this, whatever we've got, the U.S. system, the current government, do you think that it's actually fixable? I don't think it's fixable. I do not think it's fixable. So then the question you ask yourself is, like, do I vote for the person who is, it's going to make us get to a new system where the system is finally dissolved sooner, or are we going to try to, are we going on hospice? We're going to try to prolong it. It's like, I don't know. It's like, maybe just rip the Band-Aid off.
You got to think about your citadel in the future. Do you want?
But I don't know which person is ripping the Band-Aid off, because I don't know necessarily that Trump is makes it happen any less. I think maybe if you kind of like conservatives more than communists, you think that it would take longer, but maybe, like, the communists just fucking rip it down right away. You know, if he wins, just it's chaos, or the vice versa. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a shit show either way. You got to take care of yourself. You got to think about, what kind of slaves do you want in your citadel watching over your crops? Do you want them to
paying your lightning transactions for you?
Yeah, you know, your federation subjects, right?
Instead of a servant, he's your custodian. He's the one who custodies my keys for me.
Yeah, he holds some of my sats so he can fucking buy apples.
If he goes within 20 feet of me, I shoot him.
So yeah, you got to consider, do you want somebody that was a communist in the end of the fiat regime, or do you want somebody that at least fought for freedom. You might want those communists because they'll be better servants. The freedom fighters, they're the troublemakers, man. Look at us.
Right.
So you got
to... If you like to drink coffee, like woke retards from Portland are really good. They work at Starbucks. The they're baristas,
true.
Right? It's
fucking
they
make true.
Your, they make your coffee for you. You just tell them that, you know, these are the rules, and they love following rules. If it comes from an authority figure, you're just like, I'm the state now. I'm the government. Listen to me.
Yeah, that's true. Some people like taking orders, man. So if you want to be a good leader, you need good followers.
That's right.
Wow, there's a lot that you can go off from there. Gentlemen, actually, I should say, Sly, what's up with your podcast? What's going on with that? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I have a podcast that I do rarely now. I started it when I was 3 weeks into being a Bitcoiner with a friend. I recorded an episode every week for like 3 years. My most recent episode was on the halving just half a year ago or whatever, in April there. It was an orange pill to the new people that I know are coming. I think you guys participated as well. Episode orange, good shit. I'm going to bring it back eventually. I'm just sorting out some things. And I want to talk about, like, I don't want to talk about the same shit over and over again. It does start to get old. I think that's what happened to McCormack. He was the fucking head honcho of, hey, let's have the same conversation 12 times. You know, I'm the fucking idiot that listens to it too. It's like, yeah, I can listen to Jeff Booth say prices fall to the marginal cost of production a million times. Tell me why calculators on my phone are free, Jeff. Tell me again.
We're going to listen to anything you guys make. Please make something good for us to listen to.
It's nice when there's some new thoughts, man. You got to get some new shit in the mix. So, until I see something like that, I just want to kind of keep doing my own thing. I've been studying this new book that I've come to recently. It's a pretty big one. It's called The Bible. So I'm diving into that a little bit, trying to figure out what was going on there in those stories. There's a lot to learn. So, you know, Bitcoin is a lot of fun. Bitcoin's fun to talk about. Bitcoin's fun to discuss. Bitcoin's fun to philosophize about. Good. It makes life good. It fixes a lot of shit, but it eventually leads you to realizing that you have more time and use your time wisely. And I just don't think making a podcast every week was the best use of my time if it wasn't something that I loved doing. So if I can re-find that, and I fucking love talking about Bitcoin, don't get me wrong, but I just had so many great conversations. If anybody's listening to this, sorry to show my show so much, but you fucking asked, go back and listen to my fucking show, because it's one of the best Bitcoin podcasts out there. I'm not even kidding. I had great conversations with Gigi. Dan, you were on a couple of times. We had great chats. Every episode I did just with me and my buddy Doug were like amazing. They're fucking good episodes. I'm really proud of what I produced, and I only want to put out shit that I can go back, listen to, and my son will listen to in, you know, 10 years and be like, what the fuck was Dad going on about this Bitcoin thing for way back when? And he can listen and like laugh and realize how, you know, great it was and whatever. But I don't want to put out the same old episode over and over again. I don't really care. Like, enough people are doing that. I think that's part of being in Bitcoin for a cycle. You do feel like that graduation feeling. You do feel like, okay, I can take a step back. There's other people doing this shit now. Let's fucking go. And, you know, just let the signal keep spreading as it does, and everything's going to be all right, man. So, yeah, I don't know. In short, I'll record when I want to. You know, Valis did the same thing. He used to put out an episode all the time. He just walked away. I love his show. Now he puts out one like every, I don't know, quarter or whatever, and that's fine.
Yeah,
because
there's no like rule that says you have to put out one podcast a week or like whatever, yeah, or like every so often. It's like you talk about, you go back and listen to your other episodes, and they're fantastic, especially if you want to like relive. If somebody wants to go back and say, what was it like to be, you know, a pleb going through COVID and the Bitcoin bull market in 2020 and that whole cycle and like fucking FTX. You go back and listen to the Why Bitcoin podcast, because that is exactly what it was like to go through that, and all the conversations and all the scams and all the stupid drama that took place. You can go back and relive that, and it's awesome. But unless you're doing some show where it's like you're doing the recent Bitcoin news and you're talking about like it's sports talk radio, put one out whenever you have something interesting to say, and it'll probably be the kind of stuff that you can go back and listen to years later, whatever, even if it's just you listening to your old stuff and being like, damn, I used to be really retarded.
Yeah. Oh, that's good shit, man. Also, you know, there's people that, my one other reason is like, I don't want to be a content creator. I don't know if that's your guys' personal goal. It's cool if it is. For me, it wasn't. I made my podcast because I wanted to. I wasn't trying to make it something. If you do want to make it something, you do have to put out an episode every week. Like, that's real. You got to be consistent. You got to do shit. You got to make something good. But that was never my goal. So I just wanted to get my thoughts out about Bitcoin, and I feel like I accomplished that. So if I have any new thoughts, I'll put them out there again. I think that's a good
one. Yeah, that's another good point. If you're going to be a content creator or just record a podcast, just do it for yourself. Otherwise, it's probably going to suck, and people are probably going to dunk on you a lot on Twitter.
Yeah, you can tell when something's inauthentic, right?
Right.
You can, anybody listening can smell that shit pretty quick. So, I had no interest in anything like that. There's a lot of fucking good Bitcoin podcasts out there, man. We do need more. There should be more. But there's a lot of good ones now.
Hey, even, you know, I don't doubt that you'll put out another podcast in your time, but, you know, even the Bitcoin blocks don't come every 10 minutes. So,
that's very cool. Very cool.
Sometimes they take a long time.
That's right, man. You just gotta let it be. Sure. Go with the flow. Enjoy your life. Spend your time the way you want to. Buy as much Bitcoin as you can. That's all I'm looking to do.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's a good place to wrap up. Yeah, man. We'll put all your stuff in the show notes so people can follow you and like your memes and fucking listen to your podcast and connect. Do you have a Nostr yet? Do you have one of those you want to share, or are you still anti-Nostr?
I'm anti-Nostr, man. We'll get into that on the fourth episode, I guess.
I like that. That's a nice lead.
I don't know. I might jump on there at some point. I don't see the point yet. I have no need for it. Once I have a need, I'll be on there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're good at Twitter, man, you don't need to use the Twitter with training wheels echo chamber.
I'm not good at Twitter. It's just I don't know, man. Is there, maybe I should get on fucking.
When I say good at Twitter, I just mean like you can enjoy it and not fall for all the psyops.
Oh,
that
yeah. Yeah. I do see
time.
A lot of, yeah. I do see a lot of
if
people.
If you can't see somebody posting about crypto without being like, you fucking shitcoin scammer, it's like,
yeah,
go to Nostr. There's no shitcoiners. I mean, there's very few. Just, but it's like, if you can just ignore that shit, Twitter's more fun.
Yeah. There's just more people there, I think.
Yeah.
All right, brothers. I'll cut it.
Thank you again for listening to the High Hash Rate podcast with Dan and Mike. If you want to learn more about the podcast and see what we're up to, you can find us at highhashrate.com. Or if you just want to speak to a couple of baked 80 IQ plebs, reach out to us at hello@highhashrate.com. Or you can reach out to us at the High Hash Rate handle on X. Later, everybody.
Toledo!